The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Craig, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, gang. The Footy Prime crew is tracking all of the FIFA and Infantino story. If you haven't caught up, here's a timeline of our analysis, opinions, and prognostications on the ever-evolving drama. Time to get in! Malarkey!
Sean's here. Dubs is here. Craig is here. Wong is here. And last week I was away in this cottage with no connectivity, which was amazing, by the way. I recommend it. I know Dubs was too. Not the same cottage.
No, not the same one.
Not the same province, even. But you were absent. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Monsters.
Once again, Dubs, what did you say back the first time we did this bit?
We have an announcement to make.
The on-screen chemistry goes beyond the screen. No, it doesn't. We hate each other, actually. But every time I went into town and got connection, I'd see these flashes pop on my phone about Infantino and FIFA and this proposed project, which was maybe happening and then not happening, and then Infantino was going to be let go. He's still in power right now. We had to touch on it. People have been asking us about this on social media. It's crazy. The whole situation is just crazy. A man, it seems, that has been drunk by power and just does things behind his compatriots' backs without any of them knowing about it. And it's not just this proposed, you know, splitting the revenues, forming a new company to sell off the rights to the World Cup and the Club World Cup. It's not just that. That's upsetting the UEFAs of the world and the CONCACAFs of the world and the executive committees of FIFA. It's the fact that they didn't really know about the Peace Prize. They didn't really know about the hydration breaks. It's all news to them, this stuff. It just happened. SGN decides we're going to start making these sweeping changes to the game as we know it. And it seems that it's the straw that broke the camel's back, Dubs. Do you think he will be in power by, is it November, I think it is, when you have
November
to announce whether, November, when you need to announce whether you're going to run for another term or compete against Infantino for the FIFA presidency?
I think he will still be in power. So I think, if anything, he's determined and stubborn and maybe blind to, you know, the powers that be outside of the presidential chair and those executive powers that he thinks he holds without due process and without democracy, right? Because you have to have approval of your member associations, 211, your confederations, and then also the FIFA council. But he seems to think that he can operate with impunity. And I think that stubbornness will allow him to maintain his seat, whether he has, you know, the backing and the support of these members associations. Like, he's made plans, and he's made deals with Saudi Arabia's of the world, with the Qatar's of the world. You had UEFA, who I think were the strongest in their opposition to this plan to basically sell off a stake of FIFA for commercial exploitation and for privatization. And the UEFA said the game's not for sale. And so you had backing also by CONCACAF, and you had the Asian Confederation that came out. But then slowly now, I think you're seeing support where he's made these deals or these backroom deals. So I don't think he's going to go away quietly. I think he's going to dig in his heels, and I think it's going to take a lot of efforts and concerted efforts by the rest of these confederations and the member associations to push him out. And can the next person, whether it's Victor Montagliani or somebody else, come in and work with everybody to understand that the game is not for sale, that this is a game that needs our support. And even though the commercial entity and the commercial possibilities of the game in order to grow it and to further develop the game worldwide, that should never be for sale. That should never be a stake that is given to a private enterprise.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the bottom line comes down to, it doesn't matter what the public think or the media think, it's down to the members and the associations, and whether they think he's able to do it has nothing to do with anybody else. So if he has enough support, he'll stay in power. If he doesn't, he'll be ousted out, and people like Montagliani will be lining up to take over. But I'm not sure we'll see that happen. He, prior to all this, I mean, certainly during the Vancouver thing, when all the 211 associations were there, they were well in support of them at that time. So I don't know if you can crush that quickly to over 50% in a short period of time, although it is possible.
Well, I mean, the fact is they don't vote as blocks per se. That does happen. But it won't be as if all the UEFA countries have to vote together unless they have a backroom deal in place. And right now it seems that UEFA's on the same side. It seems that CONCACAF's on the same side, which is interesting, right? Because everything I read says that there won't be a proposal from a potential candidate from Europe, but they're all kind of backing Vic Montagliani if it gets to that point. Now, what the leadership looks like at that point, I think that's a big part of this as well. What does the leadership look like, Wonga? Will it be a president with all this autonomy, all this power? I don't think it will.
Look, as much as I hate all of this, I love all of this. This is Game of Thrones in sports. This is backroom dealing.
Is it the Red Wedding?
Yeah, this is. And I just wanted to read a couple. I grabbed the biggest quotes, and I'm just going to, from Alexander Seferin, UEFA president: "There's a growing opposition against FIFA. The World Cup cannot be treated as an investment product. But I think the biggest indictment was from Kevin Lamour, FIFA chief operating officer, where he's saying, calling the proposal a project of one person, going back to unilaterally pushing this stuff through and then surprising everyone he works with. Like, it is so strange that he's, Sharon, we're hearing your squeaking, just so
you know. I know, sorry.
It's his joint.
But it's so weird how he played it. And this goes to an overblown ego, someone who hasn't had anyone, you know, there's one more, his senior advisor, Carlos Cordero. I know Dubs put a heart to it on Instagram, but he said overall succinctly called the privatization initiative a bad idea for football. And so he's not even talking to his main advisors. He's living in this like level in the sky that he hasn't checked. He thinks he's God mode. He thinks he's Thanos, right?
Yes. Have you seen all the other ones? I want to throw that in because I love Thanos. He's been tabbed as Icarus, flying too close to the sun. Have you seen the memes as Gollum, where he's crouched and he's holding the ball?
Yeah.
And then his own bollocks are touching the rock underneath him. Like, it's like, it should have been called Project Hubris, right? Because it's his own arrogance and his own kind of pride that got in the way. And the only reason this leaked is because he was surrounding himself with powerful people, celebrities, these FIFA legends who allegedly he was sending to meetings, right? It was JP Morgan that valued, I think, this stake, which was 21% of the commercial and the event assets, which obviously the World Cup would fall into, and it was valued at like $20 billion or something. But he's chattering about this because he's proud of it, and like he sees it as growing the game, and it's not. And he would never have had the backing for it. But it's thanks to his own hubris that this leaked and it was halted.
I always think of this as early 2000s rom-com, Mean Girls. You know, like trying to get in with a group of people. The Lindsay Lohan character finally does. So that's Giotti. He's finally with the popular kids, who is basically Trump and his group of American investors. He doesn't realize that he's getting torn into the dark side. And so I think if you watch Mean Girls and put a soccer ball right beside the TV. And then at the end, how Mean Girls works itself out, where they've all split, no one's friends anymore, and they have to go out and find their new way and find new friends. I think Mean Girls and Gianni Infantino and his story have a lot in common. That's all I'm saying.
You could be right.
Rachel McAdams, yes.
Yes, exactly. To see
this. And is the screenplay
Regina
by Tina
George.
Fey. Yeah,
Regina
as long
George.
As Tina Fey writes it, I'm
That's
there.
That's right, yeah.
Just shake her head, right? I mean, are we though dismissing the fact that this deal, it's not so much the deal itself. I mean, let's not give UEFA a pass here. They're greedy as well, just like UEFA, just like FIFA is. But this deal would, Craig, have actually really helped a lot of really small nations. I think like 40 million, whatever, which would change a lot for those nations. Isn't that part of this that we shouldn't ignore? That, okay, perhaps you're still, someone's making a lot of money out of this, and his name is Gianni Infantino. The rumors were, the reports were, $30 million salary, more of a commissioner type role as opposed to a president. There's a difference, apparently. I'm not sure what it is. I love the way I'm talking into my mic here, even though the mic's not working. it's natural.
As an aside, Sharms, apparently he's very taken and almost fixated on the job of commissioner in the US around NFL, mm-hmm. around MLS, and how much money they make. Because he, what, makes $6 million a year?
Just the six, yeah.
Yeah, just the six. But he feels like that's dwarfed by what he potentially could be making. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's what it is, right? He's greedy. But there's a lot of greedy people in the world. And there's greedy people in some of these smaller nations too, Craig. But mm-hmm. if you're telling, you know, someone ranked 200th in the world, a tiny little island, that, hey, here's an extra $30 or $40 million a year, you can see why he'd get their vote. And why they'd be up for this?
Yeah, but is that money going to get that far down the chain? You know, like in reality, I'm not sure that would. I mean, how much money do they want to make? I mean, it's endless. So you could, you know, monetize this thing even more than they already have. We just saw the World Cup that basically was monetized to the teeth. So I don't know if they how much more they can do. And then they're going to make, what, 11, 14 billion out of this World Cup. That's a lot of money to go around. And we have to decide whether this game is actually for the people or not, because it's heading to the direction of the 1%, because those are the only people that could afford tickets at this last World Cup. As good as it was, let's be honest, not many people could be afford even to attend those games. And that's a scary, scary thing.
I also want to say, Sharms, sorry, I've got the four ways you can remove Gianni Infantino. So I just wanted to give everyone that. And I also want to say, I missed you guys. Hearing Craig's voice, that was great. You sound great, Craig. Sharms, you sound like shit. So there's a motion of no confidence, an extraordinary Congress, and you need 1/5 of the FIFA's national members. There's suspension or ban by the Independent Ethics Committee. That goes to the adjudicatory chamber, and they have to hold him. That's kind of like a trial. Defeat in a presidential election, and that is where you have to, I think it's, you have to nominate yourself or be nominated by November 18th. So that was where they're talking about Victor Montagliani, Canada's, you know, leader of soccer for CONCACAF and vice president of FIFA. And then the last one would be, and this is what Dubs was referring to, voluntary resignation, which don't think it's going to happen. But that would be big on Kashi, or one of those things. Like, does he resign? Does he back? Does he feel chastened enough, Dubs? Sorry, I found a good word for it. Does he like hit on the nose with the newspaper mm-hmm. and back away? And just because his statement, not even an apology, not a sorry in any of his statement, right?
Like, no. He said when he withdrew it, he scrapped the proposal after all the pressure. Because remember, it's only a little over a week ago that he had that 15 slide Instagram post saying that mm-hmm. people should meditate on, you know, like their views and because the World Cup was an overwhelming success, right? So how things can change in a week. So he said that he, quote, listened carefully to all the views and realized the project, quote, created divisions of a nature that are no longer in the interest of the objective set out in the first place. So much for that.
Who's the first place? Who decides who the first place is, right?
He's blaming the people that are against him there, right? He's saying that that's their fault. They've caused this disruption. And there's nothing wrong with the plan itself. I mean, how he didn't read the room, the arrogance of the man blows my mind. Like I said before, it's not really even about the, you know, privatization of our game, which, okay, isn't necessary because, as Craig mentioned, FIFA makes a lot of money. You don't need more investment in the game. There's so much money already in this sport. But the arrogance of the man to think he can just do what he wants without any repercussions really kind of just backs up everything we thought about him anyway. The fact now he's gone to Marco Rubio, he's going to meet with him yesterday, right, I believe, or was trying to get to Trump. Like, how is that going to make a difference? The World Cup's left the States now. Trump doesn't care about you anymore.
Right.
What is it? I read somewhere he was trying to push the fact that soccer can provide a soft power. Right? That's the term, a soft power in a country, just like Hungary used. And their dictator, until he was removed, because he wasn't a dictator. They tried that with it. Is it Orban?
Orban,
the guy that just got ousted? Yeah. He used soccer and hooliganism and football as power, right? He's trying to essentially push that. Say, hey, Don, you can use this sport. It's not there yet in the States. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it just isn't. And now to be crawling back to this den of spiders. Save me now. Please save me, Marco. Get me a meeting with Donald. It's vile.
And if it's Rubio that he's going to for like the work on the ground, he can't move very quickly because he's in those shoes that Trump makes all of his yes men and his henchmen wear, right? So he has to shuffle around the room.
What are these shoes? What are these shoes?
They're all the crappy dress shoes that Trump wears that he's making all of his, like his surrounding, his entourage wear. And they're like two sizes too big.
So,
like, we need him on the ground. No, we don't. He can't move very fast because his shoes are three sizes too big.
Form of old man Skechers. He's making everyone else wear them.
No, I mean, I wish they were Skechers and like slip-ons, you know, the ones that you don't need, like the shoehorn, right?
I have to say, they're really tempting.
They're the opposite of that.
So he's making everyone, is he really doing this?
Yeah.
He's making everyone wear the same shoes so he doesn't stand out as an old idiot who can't walk. Yeah. Wow. Why am I saying wow? I'm not surprised at all.
I want those shoes. I want to be walking around in those shoes. Hey, you know, this is perhaps
shoddy business. Shoddy.
I think, once again, thank you, Gianni Infantino. The biggest FIFA own goal ever, if this works out the way we think about it, right? In 6 months, because it could still be 6 months, because November 18th is when you have to apply for the job. So if that's a Victor Montagliani, someone has to say, hey, we want you to run it. But then the vote is in March. So everyone understands the process too. Right. I've been and doing my homework.
UEFA is still threatening legal action, right?
Right.
The English FA withdrew its support for re-election. Mm-hmm. And what is really crappy to me is that Infantino has always put the onus on women. Remember, open the door and like step into change. And like, but he put the onus on women, on us to enact the change, not him. Infantino is head of FIFA. And so with this threatening or the boycott that's threatened, it's the women's competition, starting with the U20 Women's World Cup in Poland in September. And then the U17 World Cup, both for young men and for young women, and then could potentially extend to the 2027 World Cup. But qualifications for that, from UEFA's standpoint, start in the fall. So all of this is on the line, and what suffers is, again, the women's game, which is taking a back seat to everything under Infantino anyway.
Well, maybe they need some private money.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying they don't need private, we wouldn't take and don't take private money. Of course they do. But it's just this investment, this sordid investment firm, which wasn't put out to tender. Here's the company. Here's who's going to run it. That's not how you do business.
Well, especially when it's attached to the American president again, right? Because it's Jared Kushner's brother who leads the investment. Good old Josh. And you can't trust a Josh. I'm just saying. Joshua's are okay, but Josh is full. Like, if there's a few out there, I'm sorry, you're untrustworthy.
But what if your friends just start calling you Josh? You prefer Joshua?
I'm telling you, they think badly of you.
Doesn't change you as a person. Because like Joshua Cloak, athletic, right? Great guy. Yeah.
Joshua Cloak.
A lot of friends call him Josh. But if you look at his byline, it will say Joshua Cloak.
Right.
I think he prefers Joshua. Mm-hmm. So does that make Joshua Cloak untrustworthy?
Yes.
Shouldn't be. His reporting's not.
He just went by Josh Cloak. Thank you, Craig Forrest, for that backup.
Maybe, hey, Cloak, if you're listening, we trust you. I think your reporting is top notch.
Yeah, under Josh Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, that's pretty good. That'd be a great name of a blog, wouldn't it? Hey,
right,
hey,
it would.
Cloak. You should do a blog called Under Cloak and Dagger. I'm sure he's thought about it at some point.
He's a double name guy. Josh Cloak. I think you say both. Which is
maybe
worthy than say like two first names as your first and last name, like a surname that could also be a first name, untrustworthy.
But is Josh Cloak trustworthy because he's using the name Josh?
I think he's trustworthy because he's Josh Cloak. Like he's always, okay. I'm like, hi, Josh Cloak. I always say both names.
Right. It does work that way. You're right. Back to the women's angle here. I mean, how will it affect them though? I mean, will it not bring more eyeballs maybe to that tournament? Don't you want to hear? I mean, Gianni loves to step up in front of a microphone. I doubt he'll do that for this tournament. But I'd love to say, you know, to watch him sit there and say, today we're all women. One of his favorite lines. Maybe you're saving that for the World Cup where I doubt he'll be in power for. So maybe in a weird kind of way, it might actually benefit the tournaments to get more eyeballs on them. What's FIFA's public stand going to be around these tournaments? Am I just hoping here?
I think you're hoping.
Yeah.
I think if he says that, you know, today we're feeling womanly or today we're all women, I'm sure he'd use the word vessels, wouldn't he?
Women
as vessels.
Today we're all menstruating.
That's right. We want the game to flow, the revenue to flow. I do want to mention, though, two women. So Laura McAllister, who's a vice president and then part of the governing body's 21-member executive committee, and then also Norwegian Football Federation president Lisa Klaveness, were two women who were at the forefront of the push, right, to start the stand and to say it was unacceptable. And it brought about the strong stance that was taken firstly by UEFA, who were first to come to the fore to say this is unacceptable.
Yeah, actually, I saw that just before we went to air today on social, Laura McAllister speaking about it, really well spoken.
Yes, on the Athletics podcast. Yeah, it was excellent. Yeah, I just heard a blurb, but I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. I think, Craig, what makes this even more disingenuous is this is more than just a man who will probably lose his job. It's that we are now all questioning FIFA's role in football and what that looks like going forward. Do we need FIFA?
Do we what?
Do we need FIFA?
Yeah, I think we do. I think you need a body that's overlooking everything, and you just need one with transparency and honesty and have the game in mind and not the rest of the noise that goes along with it. We know that they need a lot of money to run their programs. There's a lot of programs that are losing money. But there's a limit to that, I think, and the possibility of selling our game off is just enough that I think the trust has been lost completely with Infantino. I don't know where we go from here. But I mean, it's just, I can't imagine any honest association federation that would be thinking that he's at this point trustworthy. And I think that's probably the only way he'll go down here is if people are going to be morally in the right lane.
Mm. Well, he did say before all this kind of broke that he has 200 nations who would vote for this. 200.
Yeah, he didn't read the room, like you said, Charms. He doesn't seem like he has 200 nations because CONCACAF and UEFA, there's 100 right there, or 90.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they all vote under the same block.
Yes, right. It's funny, though, because I was just thinking, Craig, what Dubs was at, and I read it also, was he had sent FIFA legends to these meetings. And I'm wondering, surrounding himself, and you are a FIFA legend.
Flores is like, how come I wasn't picked?
Yeah. But no, but I think of it as, you know, at some point where they were people being players, former amazing players, being somewhat, and I'm not saying the word used, but being hoisted onto a larger stage so he could surround himself around these amazing legends that gives him authenticity while he was doing all this backroom dealing. Is that not a bad story? Like, this is literally from, you know, Billions or Succession. He was running this whole gamut of how am I going to play this? Let's start a new, let's get the women on board to think of me as a savior. I'm the guy who elevates. And that's, Debs, you cannot hide your disdain sometimes. And it's amazing.
It's a problem.
It is.
It's a work in progress, as I put 49.
Once again, if you're watching on YouTube, you've seen it. You can rewind 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and see Dubs's face. But he was playing this game of chess and didn't realize he was losing. And, you know, there's a lot of movies, a lot of shows like this. But it, once again, this could be a movie, what he just did. And honestly, that he berated, like I would say, that 15-page PowerPoint, Dubs, he berated people, basically saying, you don't know, you're not smart enough, don't talk badly about the World Cup. Then he does this. Mm-hmm. This guy is, I'd vote for him now.
By the way, there is a FIFA movie.
Yeah.
And it goes right through bladder, I think, isn't it? Was it prior to bladder? I forget. It's actually very good.
What, the FIFA Uncovered?
It wasn't the documentary. It was actually a movie.
Okay.
Oh.
About the forming, how they formed FIFA originally. It's quite interesting. It's FIFA produced and directed it. I built it and directed it. Although maybe Gianni directed it as well.
Yeah.
But
always trying to control the narrative, quite literally.
If I remember, it was quite good, though. Maybe I'm off base there, and it was absolutely terrible. Because when you think, oh, FIFA produced this movie, it's obviously one-sided, but I got a feeling it was quite good.
No, if it was good, it wasn't Gianni, because we saw what he did with Rio Ferdinand on the that he produced, that he directed. That was not great.
No, I heard he tried to go method. Didn't work out. No, but like, Charms, I just wanted to say, like, your question before, not necessarily about do we need FIFA, but about how maybe less powerful member associations where $20 million would be transformative. Right, in everything that they do in terms of development, but then also vaulting them up onto the world stage if they're on the outside looking in, even with this proposed 64 team World Cup in the next cycle, if that happens. But I mean, that was being bandied about between Trump and Infantino, even though it was proposed by CONMEBOL. But I think what it ended up being with this FFE and this privatization of the game and the game for sale is blackmail. Like, that's essentially what it was, is that you put the pressure on these smaller nations, these smaller member associations, where $20 million would absolutely revamp everything that they're doing. And it'd be really difficult to turn that down. So that's, in essence, what this is boiled down to. And I sent this a couple of days ago on the dark web, but it was Miguel Delaney on Twitter. He's an excellent follow, and I've read a couple of his books. His tweet was quite simple, and he said, the discussion should not be who the next FIFA president is, but how no president, and that includes UEFA, should ever have such power again.
And sorry, not to be a pedant, Dubs, but I think it's bribery, not blackmail, just saying.
Sure. Whatever word you want to throw out there, it has no place in a governing body, right?
So what is that next?
I appreciate that from pedant to pedant.
What does FIFA 3.0 or 4.0 look like then? Is it, I mean, they have got councils, executive committees that should wield power. And a lot of these guys coming out now saying, listen, we sit in these committees. We should be privy to all these conversations. So they are in place. It's just this guy's gone rogue. That's the problem. So is it the system set up incorrectly, Craig? Or actually, is it correctly? It's just you've got to find a guy that understands the process.
Or a gal.
Oh, sorry. when I say guys could be women.
I know.
I would love Laura. Hey, Laura, what's her name again?
Callister.
Callister. Boom. I like her a lot. Sorry. Great. Yeah. The process works, right? Or does it not work?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's an interesting take as the system sort of held up. I mean, maybe just about. But I think this is comes back down to the trust factor and the fact that this was done behind the scenes and try to be pulled off in a way that we've seen it is. Yeah, I don't know if he reads the room all that well. He makes some knee-jerk reaction decisions and opinions that have not been for the greater good of football.
Don't you think he planned this thinking that the World Cup was such an enormous success? And everyone knows it's an enormous success. And coming out of this, he's going to be the man, literally the savior of football. And he's got this other plan now in place. Look at me. You thought that was good? Wait till you hear about this. Mm. That, again, just screams of the fucking arrogance of the man to think that. All these politicians, he thinks are in his back pocket. But in fact, he's in their back pocket.
Especially if you don't have friends like you, bunch of clowns, to ground you, right?
Right.
If you don't have real friends, and I would argue this is the problem with some of the leaders in the world right now, some of the tech leaders, these guys don't have real friends. They're going, dude, you're out of bounds here. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. And you need to course adjust. And just because you have a lot of money, and I forget who said it, but it was about, finally, monetization didn't matter. And I forget who said it, but it was like someone saying, hey, we're finally to a place where it's not just about the money. The game's, the soul and the sanctity of the game is more important than money. And this, obviously, there's lines from UEFA that I'm stealing right now, but this, these statements, they were poetic, right? They were literally almost put to a place where you could put them up as this is the mission statement going forward, right? You take that, whatever these, you combine them all into one and you say, FIFA, new mission statement. It's not just to grow the game, but to grow the game justly, fairly, with and without graft, grift, or any of the other criminality and corruption. Like, maybe you need to say it out like that because you need safeguards.
Yeah, I think the great irony of this is that UEFA's coming out as the good guys. Hmm. They're playing it beautifully. They're playing it beautifully, aren't they? We're standing up, and so is CONCACAF, by the way, playing it beautifully. All those who thought that Vic was in bed with Gianni are now saying, oh, maybe he wasn't so much. Vic's also a very skilled politician. Hmm. Well, let's not forget about that. He's playing this very well as well. And what an opportunity. When the whole world's throwing daggers at Infantino right now, you need someone to kind of stand up and say, we got this. Don't worry, guys. We got this, right, Craig? We're going to take care of this guy.
I can imagine the phone calls right now, like going around. Have I got your support?
Oh,
man. Tony, it's Game of Thrones with phones.
It totally is. It totally is, yeah. And that's how this all operates.
It's House of Cards,
yeah.
Right?
Acting
is House of Cards.
Yeah. Victor he's operated very well among the CONCACAF group for sure, and he's done a good job with CONCACAF. They've raised their revenue as well. There are some safeguards in CONCACAF that FIFA don't have, but the bottom line is if you go with a football angle and you're that type of person, you got a chance of doing something, because at the end of the day, all the money and all the politicking are going on. If you get to the bare bones of it and you get to the what do you want for football, I think that's where Victor Montaliani has a very good opportunity here, because he's played that line in CONCACAF and he continues to do it worldwide. And I've seen him in the room amongst all these 211 different countries, and he's well respected. Now, they also were going to vote for Gianni Infantino, but the point is he is well-respected, and he's in the room, and he knows absolutely everybody, and I've seen it for myself. I mean, Dan, you saw it as well in Washington. He's in the room with all the most powerful people, including Gianni, of course.
Yeah.
And he was never going to put himself and try to, you know, destroy Gianni. But certainly behind the scenes, if things change, I think the opportunity would come about that Victor would then have the opportunity and certainly want the job at this point, I would think.
Yeah, listen, in politics, friendships only go so far, right? You know, until there's an opportunity there. I do wonder, though, whether you need someone completely fresh, unconnected to the past regime, with fresh ideas, with fresh connections. You know,
wasn't that Gianni?
Yeah.
We thought he was the guy. And now, Seth Blatter's on Twitter and all these different things. And he's actually making sense.
Moral high ground.
I know. For those people saying, man, we wish we still had Seth Blatter, people's memories are very short. Mm-hmm. This guy was overtly corrupt, stealing money, right? And Gianni Infantino may well be corrupt, but it's more about greed and using the system to his benefit. Right.
Weren't the charges dropped on Sepp Blatter, though?
Were they in the end? I can't remember now.
I mean,
I don't know. Isn't he banned from football still? Or is he back in there now? I don't know. It's on social media.
So he must be good.
Yeah.
He must be good now.
Yeah.
Oh, I think with Gianni, though, it's like a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me type thing where it's happened a number of times now where finally people are like, this is it now. Like you can't stay in power. But like I said, he's if he goes, he's going to go kicking and screaming. He's not going to do so kind of gracefully.
Okay, so let's play that game, Sharms. Mm-hmm. Let's play that game. Dubs is saying he's going to go kicking and screaming and fight it right to the end. Does that mean, Dubs, give me the scenario. Does he stand for election and go through all kind of that parliamentary democratic voting thing? Or does he see who's going up against them and then go, okay, I'm going to take myself off the ballot? And or does he stay all the way till March?
No, he stays all the way till March.
Okay.
Because Prager? I still think there's some manipulation and there's some, he can still ingratiate himself and he can still spin things in his favor. Or he sees it that way anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see him resigning, but we'll see. I think he goes all the way to March as well. But this all depends on all the phone calls and how much support he actually has.
Yeah.
Right. If he thinks he's got no chance, then he might try to take the, you know, the road of resignation and
I'm going to leave it at Sharms to wrap this, like to wrap that question up. But I think he resigns. I think there's going to be too much pressure. And I'm not sure he resigns before November 18th. I think he takes maybe not a resignation, but takes himself off the ballot, if that's a resignation, but sees who he's up against. Because I think with him, it's about competition and politicking and all that kind of stuff. And he, once again, he doesn't have friends or he wouldn't have done this, right? So if he just surrounds himself with the same sycophants as that he had before, to Dub's point, sycophant.
Thank you.
There's also psychophants.
It's also really psychopants.
They're crazed. Yes, man. Yes.
Macho man wore psychopants. can't touch this. But I think Sharms, that's where I leave it. I think he sees who he's up against. He could last until the end, but I think he's going to walk away.
Yeah, I think that he's going to soon realize that all these yes men and women around him are going to be jumping like rats from his ship. And he's going to realize, I've got to still try and control the message here. I can do that by walking and framing it a certain way. And maybe, you know, having those backroom deals in place. Listen, I'll walk quietly if you don't throw me under the bus quite as horribly as you could. That's what I think. I think he's a rat too. I think he's a bit of a coward behind it all. Right?
You know, like next week's show, I'm trying to book Gianni Infantino.
Yeah, I know. I think so. That's what I think will happen. But listen, you could well be right. He could just, you know, be one of those that just sticks it out to the very end. You know, I don't know. But yeah, I think he'll walk. And as far as who's next, it could be a very different FIFA they're walking into. It'll be fascinating because the minute, I think November will be fascinating. There's going to be a lot of names thrown into the hat there. Or drawn from the hat, thrown into the ring. You get the idea. There's going to be a lot, right? It's going to be, Victor's going to be the favorite, at least he is right now. But there's a lot of big power brokers in world football who'd love that job. And including ex-players. I mean, what is Craig, is Platini, is he allowed back in football now? Is he too tarnished? Probably too tarnished because he really wanted that job. He really wanted that job, right? He was done bad, according to him.
And that whole, you know, when they picked Russia and Qatar for the World Cups, Platini had his fingers all over that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's too late for him.
Yeah. Even when PSG took over, or the Qataris took over PSG, if you look at all that timing around them getting the World Cup and then taking over PSG, it was all related in that world of corruption to get the World Cups to Qatar. I mean, seriously, it's endless.
He thought it was getting better, right? And smoothed out. And, you know, FIFA was, it was cleaning its image there for some time. It really was. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of began to spiral around this World Cup, didn't it? Sadly. Anyway, there's lots more to talk about this. And there's going to be more and more breaking news. The reporting's been outstanding, by the way, from the Ben Jacobs, the Martin Ziegler's of the world. There's others. The Athletic is the place to watch and to read, by the way. It's just been brilliant. Not here, certainly. We'll react.
Should we get to the elephant in the room, the big bald elephant in the room right now? We can't avoid it.
No.
Right? I mean, it's changed since last we spoke. Gianni Infantino and FIFA. So the most recent news is that both Argentina and Mexico have backed Infantino. The plot thickens.
Imagine Argentina backing Infantino. Yeah. Imagine.
What a stretch.
Jesus.
Now, Fifth Pro, it's essentially the Union for All Professional Footballers, basically, have come out yesterday with a scathing indictment of Infantino and of FIFA demanding change. UEFA have doubled down on their threat to boycott FIFA events. Doesn't UEFA hold the key here, Dubs? If they want to really affect change and they boycott, unless there is leadership change at FIFA, that's the biggest sword to wield?
Mm-hmm.
To wield right now, isn't it, for anyone? Because if they say, starting with Women's World Cup next year, we're out. Our teams aren't playing. I don't know what option FIFA would have.
But it would be even more pressing. It wouldn't be next summer. It would be September.
Right, with the qualifiers.
For the qualifiers. To even have the qualifiers, if UEFA is not going to participate in the Women's World Cup in 2027, but the U20 Women's World Cup is in September. So you can't do one and not the other. If you're going to boycott, you boycott.
Yes, but I'm just saying, but the Women's World Cup carries a lot more weight than the U20s.
That's the big sword of which you speak. I see what you're saying.
Right, the biggest sword. We got a dagger. Yeah. It's a sharp dagger.
It's like a dagger or like a shiv would be like the U20s maybe. Yeah,
yeah, formed out of a toothbrush in your jail cell.
Yeah, that's right. You came in a cake. Maybe baked by Gianni.
Probably a cake.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean, but I think regardless of what competition we're talking about, I think, again, I mentioned in the last podcast, it really upsets me that it's the Women's World Cup. I mean, it's the nature of the cycle. The Women's World Cup always happens a year after the Men's World Cup. So,
Or three years before.
Yeah. Or never, depending on your relationship. Right. But I mean, it's really shitty that this is what is kind of on the chopping block, as it were, to continue with our knife analogies. Yeah. That this is what is going to be at stake. So that wasn't deliberate.
I know,
but I think UEFA, yes, they are kind of the crown jewel if you're looking at the confederations in FIFA. So if they are willing to push, and then Sharms, you sent that link and I watched it. I think it was the BBC. And then a reporter who is in the know said that, you know, the emergency meeting that happened in Rabat in Morocco, there, everybody wasn't there as part of the executive committee. So it was selective support for Infantino to keep his seat as president. So it's, there's a lot of cloak and dagger happening, right? Like a lot of information that's being pushed out, that's being selectively kind of chosen by Infantino to say, I still do have the support. And then, yes, the Argentinas and the Mexicos have come to the fore, even though CONCACAF was also adamant in their stance that they were against it, especially as it applied to the FFE. But I think they're just seeing it as this is unacceptable. Like this is just not enough to pull this plan to put a stake of FIFA for sale. It's just we have to see legitimate and sort of tangible change in a way that you're leading, and they're not convinced that that's happened yet.
But Jimmy, I mean, all valid points, but Argentina, Mexico, they're heavy hitters. They carry a lot of weight, although they just it's just one vote each, right? No matter who you are, whether you're Sam Reno,
one vote. And the thing is, too, when you look at Argentina, they had 27 million people that signed a petition to ban them from FIFA. So they're probably going the other way, going, you know what? F you all.
Back in Argentina. Yeah. Doesn't that follow suit with Argentina and the way they played the World Cup? These pricks, the most unlikable team. And now, well, you know what, world? How about this? Mm-hmm. We're backing Infantino.
Yeah, because even more now.
Yeah, they're an unlikable group.
They really are.
They really are.
I keep thinking about how and if boycotts have ever worked in sports. Now, this is a little different because we're talking about huge blocks of countries who are attached to confederations and federations. But, you know, the most recent ones I can think of are the 80 and 84 Olympics.
82.
Where, pardon me?
No, 80, sorry, you're right. 80, sorry.
Yeah. 80 and 80, yeah. So 80 with the Western countries or the Western bloc saying no, except England. I think that's when Alan Wells won.
Alan Wells, you good one, Wonger.
Yeah, I know my hundred.
White man wins 100 meters.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, boy.
The slowest time. Just throwing it out.
14. But not saying anything.
It was just not a strong field in 1980, and 1984. It was a strong field, but Canada did amazing. We were like, it was like Pan Am Games.
Ben Johnson got a medal in the 100 there. People don't.
Yeah, he got a bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is, it didn't really work. But I'm not sure how Infantino Dubs got a lot of props by saying he is not giving up his crown. Infantino is not giving up his crown, right? And he's going to sit around and see what's going to happen. And he's fighting till the end. He's doubling down, tripling down. Thanks again, Gianni Infantino, and your huge ego for giving us such great content. But do boycotts work? And have they worked in football, in soccer? Have we seen this before?
That's a good point. There's always threats, isn't there, over the years, threats of boycotts, which never actually result in boycotts.
No, because most times the deals get done before the boycott because they can't afford to risk having a boycott.
What? Canada soccer players boycotted, didn't they, Dubs, a couple of times?
Yeah.
To affect change. It was that.
I mean, if you come in with big numbers like UEFA, 55 countries, that would have a lot of power to it. Individual countries that decide that they want to threaten to boycott. Then if the government get involved, remember, that's not a good thing. Technically.
Mark Carney did. Right? Mark Carney spoke out about it. He wasn't involved, but he did comment. He said that Infantino is not someone that he trusts, essentially, is what he said. So did Andy Burnham, the new UK Prime Minister, as well. So could that be considered getting involved?
That's more of an opinion, isn't it? Because it's not actually getting involved. What's getting involved is when you get a red card rescinded.
That's political interference for sure. Yeah. But Argentina could be backing Infantino just simply to make the disciplinary proceedings against them following the final versus Spain to make that go away.
Suddenly, Prados hasn't got a red card.
Or you know, just what they've been investigated for, right? Like everything that happened versus Spain. So it's the disciplinary and ethics prosecutors assessing what happened at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. And, how long does that take? I mean, come on.
Like, it take forever.
Make a decision, but you wait.
No, oh, it's so dirty. It's all so dirty. I mean, no one's clean here. Right? UEFA, and you know, from what we understand, what you see in our thoughts and Infantino, okay, good, they're making a stand, but they're not clean. They're as greedy as the next man. Or woman. Sorry, Dubs. Could be very greedy women as well.
Include them there.
That's why there's so much more. I mean, you can just imagine the phone calls and the backroom negotiations happening right now, right? It's grotesque what's happening. And like you said, yeah, he's going to fight. Sorry, bloody cat here. He's going to fight until the end, probably, because it's Gianni Infantino. Freaking cat, get out the...
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Yeah. Oh, nice ass shot.
Yeah.
So, thanks for that.
Rusty Penny.
Fuck her up.
And now my mic's going to blow.
Was that a balloon nut?
Rusty Penny, I've never heard that one.
But the fact that FIFPro have come out, they do willpower, right? It's a good Luis Figo has come out strongly with a scathing indictment. He's one of the guys you always see sitting there with the legends there with about, you know, 17 Brazilians at all the big games with Gianni, their king, at the front. But they're not backing him as well. Africa, a lot of those teams have supported him. Morocco, Egypt, Nigeria, Mauritania coming out publicly. He has got backing, but, you know, you don't often vote on block, so to speak. But UEFA has, is it 54, Craig, you said? Or Jimmy, 54?
Yeah, 55, I think.
55, right? Okay, yeah. And CONCACAF have how many? Combined, it's like, what, 90
35,
votes?
41, right. But I think 35 have votes.
Okay, so around 90 with those two blocks, if they vote on block, right? You need 106 to affect presidential change at the elections. 106. So there's a lot of possible change there on both sides.
Wasn't Asia leaning towards Europe and CONCACAF as well? I thought they were a part of it.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as strong a statement as UEFA nor CONCACAF, but yes.
Well, CONMEBOL were quite strong as well. I mean, they didn't call out FIFA necessarily, but they did call for change as far as governance. But then Argentina and went kind of rogue, as they do.
Yeah.
With this comment.
And how does this work? I mean, you're going to get to a point where you have to have somebody else make the statement that I'm going to put myself forward for this position, whether it's Victor Montaliani or whoever else. Like, somebody's got to make that actual statement. Nobody's done it yet because it is that Game of Thrones thing where everybody's like trying to position themselves. Nobody wants to put themselves in a bad position and be on the wrong side. So if you back the resignation of Infantino and then he stays, now all of a sudden you're exposed because he's going to try and get your ass out. So what do you
individually
do? What do they do? Like, what, I don't even know what the position and what Victor's game plan would be, even if he wanted to put himself forward. I don't know.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know, like karaoke, where someone's like, "Oh, hey, get up and sing." You're like, no, look, I'm not going to sing. I don't want to sing. No, I don't want nothing to do with this. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're up. Okay, no problem. I'm ready.
You've got the backing.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Who's dying to get up? But it's kind of like, no, I'll play coy, no problems. Then all of a sudden, the song comes on. It's just sprinting up to the mic.
You hear the beginning of Tainted Love, and all of a sudden, you're up, you're on stage.
But half the crowd hates Soft Cell.
Right?
Oh, this might go one of two ways here.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of what Craig was saying. Oppositely, you would also want to be oppositely. Yeah, oppositely. It's an awkward adverb.
What's the opposite of opposite?
Is it a word?
Yeah.
What's the opposite of opposite?
Aligned
together.
Yeah. Anyways, if you're not coming out with a statement, you also want to be the country or confederation that holds the vote. So you can, I mean, this is a craven game, right? You want to be able to negotiate everything you can for that vote to either displace Gianni or to bring them back from the ashes and in a fiery phoenix kind of way, right?
Yeah.
That's the politics are starting already. And you're going to see countries going, waiting right to that final vote to go, oh, what are you going to give me? Right?
Yeah. Right. Ugh. Like, say, whoever, XYZ puts something forward, go, okay, I think I've got the support. I've talked to everybody, all these islands and everything. And then you go, okay, I'll put myself forward. And it's like, where the fuck is everybody?
Everybody's
bad. Yeah. They're like, I thought I had your support. What? Sorry. Bad connection.
It's like you're fighting a bully, right? You're like, let's go, guys. And you're the leader. Then you look around. You're like, what the, you sons of bitches.
You go get them, Wonger.
It takes a certain person to thrive in politics, eh? Who would want that life?
Yeah. God,
it's grotesque.
You need to have that, unfortunately, in your locker, don't you? Like, I mean, as well as football aside, you have to be able to maneuver your way through those types of situations.
Even the good guys. Well, perceived good guys, everyone's got an opinion, but the people that we like, they got a side to them. Push came to shove, they haven't got your back. They're watching out for number one.
Well, speaking of watching out for number one, like in Argentina and Mexico going rogue as single member associations supporting Infantino when their confederation has gone out and condemned the actions of the president, which is basically him going rogue himself, right? Not consulting anybody in his executive committee and just doing this and going ahead with it and having to walk it back. What happens now, say for Mexico and Victor is president of CONCACAF and vice president of FIFA? How do you reconcile all of that? How do you move forward when one of your own member associations has distanced itself from the confederation stance?
Oh, good, great point.
Do you need a short memory or a long memory? I don't know. One or the other, right? Either you say, you know what? Yeah, that's politics. Whatever, that's in the past. Let's move forward. Or I'll move forward, but I'll actually never forget. Mm. And I will hold a grudge.
You mentioned thing, elephant in the room. It's Infantino to kick this discussion off, and it's memory like an elephant, right? Not like a goldfish in politics and in football, right? Because if you get burned by somebody, you can guarantee that they will not forget that, and they're going to be out to get you. So you put your name forward, and then that's when they fuck off.
But Dubs, you make a good point with the Mexico stepping out, and if they went rogue, but even CONCACAF coming out with a statement so quickly, had they had everyone coalesced to agree to this?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? And is that going rogue? So someone's saying, hey, I'm speaking for my entire confederation and I'm going to say this. Did he have input from a Mexico who is, as we've talked about, always going to be one of the top players in CONCACAF and in the world football. So did they go rogue by going early and not getting it?
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine they would go rogue because they can't, right? I think they probably looked at it and thought, okay, we've got the majority of the nations here are on one side, so we're writing on behalf of that.
Because Victor takes a lot of phone calls that day.
Because you got to think, Vic represents all the countries.
Yeah.
He can't just come out and write something on behalf of everybody. But if he's got a majority ruling, then he could say, I'll send out a note on our behalf.
Is it a simple majority, I wonder? Is it a simple majority? And that Zoom call, hands up if we're going to go against Infantino here. Yeah. Is it a simple majority? How does that work? Looking to the guy beside you.
Somebody accidentally puts on the filter of the cat.
Do you see that?
In the pandemic, remember?
Yeah.
The guy has to do like an online Zoom for like hearing.
He's like, sir, hearing.
Yeah, sir, you've got a filter of a cat. He didn't know how to take it off.
And he goes, I'm not actually a cat. I'm sorry, I'm trying, but I'm here, I'm live. I'm not actually a cat.
Sir, you're within a whisker of contempt of court.
That might be Dubs' best ever.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, tip your waitresses. I'll see you later. Leave on a high note.
Can't claw your way out of this one.
Oh. Okay, moving on. Listen, so FIFA, this morning woke up and another open letter, I think it is this time. Mm-hmm. Is that different from a statement, an open letter? Seems to be the same thing to me, but it seems a little bit less aggressive.
I think it's probably more to it, right? A statement would be a paragraph, maybe a couple, and then an open letter is, you know, that you're sitting down and you've got your cup of coffee and you're in for at least a 10 or 15 minute read, maybe, yeah, depending who you are. For Jimmy, yeah, everybody else, 3 or 4 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Jimmy.
Well, I like
and,
the way
and it's all signed. It's signed by everybody.
Yeah.
And it, but
yeah,
it says love
it's
you.
Open to
and
everyone.
Then it's signed off.
Love you.
Yeah.
XOXO Gossip Girl.
So UEFA, CONCACAF, and the Asian Federation, the AFC, have all got together and have responded to the most recent FIFA statement, only the FIFA didn't have any names associated with it. It was just FIFA. Whereas mm-hmm. Victor Montaliani, Sefran, there's like 8 names in this open letter. And essentially, it's much of the same. It's criticizing the leadership of FIFA. And one thing I noticed in this one, actually, was how they mentioned they want to redistribute some of the money that FIFA has to its member association. So that, to me, is the first sign of, listen, smaller nations, we know that Gianni Infantino and FIFA are offering you a lot of money, especially under this now defunct project. But we're going to give you lots of money as well if you side with us. There's more money coming your way. That's what it seems to me. That I found that the most interesting, because all the other language we've heard before, I think. But 136 members, I believe, will constitute UEFA, CONCACAF, and Asia. That's way more than the 106, I think, is the majority you need.
211.
Yeah.
Right.
Total.
Right.
Total. Yeah.
So if, Jimmy, if they all stick together and vote on block in March, whenever it is, if it gets that far, it does seem that would be enough to get Infantino out. Are you surprised by this united front from the three big federations?
No, not at all. I think when UEFA came out, I think CONCACAF knew that really UEFA is a big powerhouse. They agreed with them, they aligned with them, and Asia no different. They were looking to see, okay, who's on the same page here and who's not happy with the situation. And for the three of them to come together, that's a majority right away. So Infantino, he's in trouble.
If they vote as a block, but we've already seen Mexico and mm-hmm. individual countries.
Argentina.
Support, yeah. All the ones you would think that would support Infantino are pretty much the ones you'd guess.
No big surprises there.
I mean, if you had to pick any two.
Yeah.
But is this, Dubs, is this a huge deal today? Is it just more reinforcement of what we knew already?
I think it's both, but I think it's a big deal. And I think it's a response to that statement by FIFA where, you know, we won't accept any criticism and we won't accept being undermined. But your point about the money being distributed here is not bribery and it's not blackmail. It's just one man is taking credit for all of the work that we've been doing concertedly together, collaboratively. So he is not the czar or the king. You know, and then we bow to him. This has been the work of 211 member associations and the council and the executive committee, everybody together. And he's almost being offered a lifeline here, the opportunity to resign with a little bit of dignity if there's some left. And I was also reading Henry Winter was saying, because I was bemoaning the fact that given the way that the cycles are set up with FIFA, that it's the women's competitions that are on the docket next. So I guess UEFA, AFC, and CONCACAF have begun, this is according to Henry Winter on Twitter, they've begun preliminary discussions about the possibility of organizing competitions among themselves to ensure that players can continue to compete, such as the Women's Under 20 World Cup, which starts in less than a month, and it won't be impacted by everything that's surrounding Infantino.
Yeah.
Like, that's crucial. So you do that publicly. That's why you have the open letter. it's a call to action, and it's kind of like a shot across Infantino's bow, but it's also to say we will continue as normal because we represent 64% of your member associations, and this is our voice, and it's loud, and we are aligned.
Yeah. Okay, now, last time we spoke on this very podcast, I asked you all, do you think he'll stick around till the vote? Do you still think he will? Dubs?
Yeah, well, at the moment, yes, I do.
You think he will? Still?
Yeah, I think he's a different type of animal. I think he's going to fight right to the bitter end.
Dubs, do you still think he will?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. I said so, like, a week ago. It feels like a month ago with the amount of shit that's come out. You know, that it was UEFA that covered the fact that when he was general secretary for them, that he had an affair, and then the mistress was promoted, you know, to a managerial position, and was like business as usual for him, amongst other things that have continued to surface. And I think he will cling to the power. I really do think he will, and he will not go away gracefully.
Jimmy, you think you hear that one? I'm not sure. Regardless, do you think it's going to be around in the March?
Yeah, I can't. I can't see him walking away. No, I think he'll hang on for as long as he can.
Yeah, really. Unless there's like 90% of them, you know. I don't think there's. I think if he thinks there's a chance,
he'll hang around. I think he walks, man. I think he walks.
He's the Dumb and Dumber one.
Yeah,
so I do. Saying you're saying there's a chance.
Maybe if there's another open letter.
We'll add it up.
Yeah, oh, there'll be another open letter for sure from FIFA coming pretty soon. Signed by some names, probably, including Mexico and Argentina and these powerhouses.
Do you think there's any at any point, do you think CONMEBOL and Africa, CAF, do you think that they come over to the quote unquote good side? Do they join forces with everybody else, or do you think that they will remain staunch in their support for Infantino?
I would say right now there's phone calls between CAF in particular and UEFA. Say, okay, so that paragraph in your open letter, when you said that you want to kind of, you know, look at the funds and perhaps redistribute them among the members, what does that look like? Mm. And so they should.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they should. The small nations, all this bullshit affects the small nations so much more than the bigger nations who have money. And by the way, we're a small nation here in Canada. I know Canada Soccer is waiting to see how this kind of what happens here. They're keeping very quiet at the moment. I'm sure at some point there'll be a statement. But right now they're being pretty quiet, just seeing what happens here at the top levels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'll be happy. But content with the leaders, CONCACAF, taking the horns on this, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to be very neutral, and I would think, over this. Until it's not.
what's football out of the World Cup? What is the sentiment, do you think, around the world? Because the hope was that, oh, football's the best. It's great. This incredible tournament. Oh, no wonder it's number one sport in the world. I don't think it was that because of the crap that happened at the World Cup, at the top level, at the political level. But do you think that the hope was that, and then this is just, has this marred 2026? Has it just like pissed all over it? All the feels that we have from the World Cup, this is kind of like erase that. It seems a long time ago now that Spain lifted that trophy.
Yeah, maybe in some ways, it just so soon after the fact. I mean, the World Cup is going quite swimmingly, I thought, until Balogun and the American red card that was suspended, and then the political side of that when Trump made it public that he made phone calls to FIFA, and then it happens. I mean, that's government interference, and I think that's when things started to go sideways. And then as soon as the World Cup ends, poor final, I have to agree with that. And as soon as that ends, all this mess comes out right away. That there's deals behind that, trying to set Infantino up for a nice cushy job, making millions, looking after a private fund.
Yeah, terrible. I think when everybody's looking at it, and I think why these open letters and these organizations are coming together is because Infantino, you're elected to bring everybody together, to drive all nations forward. And now with his nonsense and what he's doing, and he's trying to rush things through, and people are going, hold on a minute. You're here to work with us, not tell us what to do. And then now you're dividing us. So really, you got to go. You have to go. Because you're not doing what you're meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Another paragraph in that letter was how, you know, the FIFA management, was it called the management group that met last week? And mm-hmm. their statement came from that meeting. There was only one elected official at that meeting.
Yeah.
They're all employees of FIFA. How many groups and councils and committees are there at FIFA, by the way? Holy crap. I know it's a big organization. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, talk about bureaucracy. It could be a lot tighter, couldn't it? More efficient.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there seems to be little cliques that have formed, right? These little kind of not necessarily lap dogs, but like people who want to ingratiate themselves to Infantino and get the favors and get the publicity and all the perks of being attached to him. I think those are probably the ones that made up that meeting. But back to what you're saying about the World Cup, I think it was seen as an overwhelming success, minus a couple of things. And one was the FIFA Peace Prize, which happened at the draw. Too bad Wonger's not here because I heard he was at the draw. So that kicks off there. And like, that's Infantino going rogue, right? Like, nobody was consulted. Then you're at the World Cup, and it started with the FIFA Club World Cup. And all of these markets that still haven't been paid, by the way, the 11 host nations for the FIFA Club World Cup, and then also the American host nations for the World Cup are still awaiting their $1 million from FIFA. But the over and overt commercialization of the World Cup via these hydration breaks, again, all Infantino. The disgusting political interference, as Forrest talked about with the Balogun Red that was suspended, that was Trump and Infantino in cahoots. And just the two of them, Infantino. So I think if you take Infantino out of the equation, then I think the World Cup is still seen as an overwhelming success, but it's minus that man whose pride and hubris got in the way. And then the indignation of that letter is like, how dare you criticize us? It's really, how dare you criticize me? Right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Ego. Right? From day one, ego's been the reason why this is just... grown into this monster that it is. I had a dream last night, and you may not believe this, but it's true. I don't know anything the context of it, but I was in a player's tunnel, right, going out to something. But
Jimmy's like, that's hilarious.
I know that alone is hilarious. Maybe I was a mascot, Jimmy. Jesus, who knows? I maybe wasn't playing, right? Yeah. But behind you
take a wrong turn out of a bathroom.
Hey, I've played in charity games before.
Walking out with a mascot. Right?
They wheel me out. no, but Gianni Infantino is behind me in the tunnel. Oh. And I turn around and he gives me two kisses on the cheek, like a mafia don, like the kiss of death type thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell was that? And that was a dream. That's all I remember.
Charms, nothing else. I knew it was you. You broke my heart.
I missed the week of my daughter's wedding.
Charms.
It was a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really weird. I hope that's all that happened. I can't remember.
Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. It all went black after that.
Yeah. It was nice, actually. It was a very wet kiss, if I remember, in the dream. That's one thing I remember. Really wet, like slubbery.
Oh, dear. You know?
It wasn't like in your face.
You had a very rough tongue.
Yeah.
Like a serpent he is.
Yeah. It was forked as well.
Yes. Oh man, you know, I just hate to think this is not going to go away, this whole story, all week. It's going to grow and grow and grow, and it's probably going to grow and grow and grow till November 18th and beyond. So get ready. If you like your football politics, you're in for a ride the next few months. To hell with the games.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.